thoughts
for you. If you think like you need to improve your engagement with God, if you want to do that, I'm going to give you a couple things to think about. So if you have your quiet time or time alone with the Lord, as Daniel said this day earlier, you know, it's if you can do it early in the morning. Angela does it every morning before she goes to school. If you can do it in the morning, if you're able to wake up, you can now look at the world through those lenses. But I want you to think, as you have your time with the Lord, there's a lot of ways you can do it. But one thing I would say, make sure a part of that time is spent focusing on God and His character, on Him. You know, not like you and what you want Him to do for you and what you need. That should be a part of that time, and I'm not saying it shouldn't. But I would say make sure a good part of that time is spent focusing just on Him alone. Because He's outside of you. He's bigger than you. He's more than you. And when it's all about us, you know, do you notice that things kind of, life gets too small, too tight. It kind of gets stuck. It kind of doesn't feel right. So spend time rehearsing truth about His character. Spending time remembering what it is that He said. Sometimes hymn writers capture it well, or song writers capture it well, or poets. And you might, you know, the other morning I was just saying, "Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hand have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, and Thy power throughout the universe displayed." I was just in my, and just saying, then sings my soul, you know. And you can, you know, you can do it that way, or you can, there's plenty of scripture, there's great scripture that you can read that just focuses on God. Other things to do, but I thought, you know, there's a lot of ways to look at this, and this is a way we can also get, if you have some ways that you found positive, very helpful in engaging with God, love for you to share them. Maybe those are ways that we can engage each other. We can help build an ability to have a greater opportunity for us to engage meaningfully with God. And that's great. But one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Sandra, just, it's not the authoritative way, it's just one way. But I'm going to ask Sandra, could you just share, you know, how you meet with God? What do you do? And maybe you might pick up something and how she does. So I'm going to have her share just what she does with God and what her times are like. And maybe it'll give you an idea and give you a thought. Or maybe you'll get an ethos or an idea like, oh yeah, I need to focus like that. So Sandra, why don't you come on up? And I know you've got a lot of things to take care of and worry about, like your hair. And but that's all part of life, so... If you could, did I marry a hot one or what? Huh? Is she a babe or what?
Okay, well, good to see everyone. And you're probably wondering why I got my hair so fixed up to come out. But partly for comic relief, but also partly to show us how, this is just, like Arthur said, this is just my perspective on things, okay? And hopefully there's some truth in it. I mean, put that phone away. Okay, anyway, I am going to talk about three things about my relationship with the Lord, okay? And the first thing has to do with coming into, there are three P's, okay? So I always like to have little acronyms. So the first thing is coming into the presence of God. And like I said, when I come into the presence of God, the reason why I'm coming like with all, so ridiculously is because, isn't that how we come into the presence of God? We come in with all this stuff in our mind. Oh, I got to help Angela with her calculus later. You know, that's kind of on my mind. I got to finish playing words with friends because I play that every day with a doctor from China. Oh, yes, and I got to check email and go on the internet and go shopping for things on Amazon. That's something I have to do. And you better not use that for blackmail. And, and, of course, my hair isn't exactly the way I want, and I'm having kind of a bad hair day. or there's something else about my looks, like maybe I have a pimple on my face that's been bothering me, or, you know, I feel very fat, or, you know, other things that you guys could be concerned about your looks and all. Do you ever get concerned about, like, your hair? No? Anyway, so, you know, you worry about your hair and things like that. And then, I'm a mom, so I have to worry about, like, cooking. Oh, what am I going to make for dinner tonight? Do I need to go to Trader Joe's later on to get something? And I have that concern. And if it's not that concern, then, and I know you guys think about food a lot, right? Like, I'm hungry, I got to get something easy. You sit down to be in the presence of God, and all these things kind of flood your mind. You know, it's hard to kind of push them away, right? So if it's not cooking, and then if it's tennis season, I'm thinking, hey, we're playing Whittier Christian today. I wonder if we're going to win, and how's that going to be? And I have that on my mind, coaching tennis and all. So there's always, and maybe you have volleyball on your mind. You wake up in the morning, you want to do quiet time with God, but it's like, wait, South Pass is playing Mirandolfo High School. Mirandolfo High School is so good. They're gonna cream us. So that is very bad. You know how that is. But so you have that on your mind. So you have so many things on your mind, and it's hard to get into the presence of God, right? You guys, could you relate to that? Exams, work, family problems, relational problems, all these things kind of flood your mind, and it's hard to get into the presence of God. So I would say that that's the first thing that you have to do, or I have to do. And sometimes when I do it, and lately I've been journaling, so God knows this. So sometimes the first thing I write down is those things. Like, Lord, you know I have to, you know, go take Angela to school, and then I'm going to go work out, and then I'm going to have lunch with my dad, blah, blah, blah. And I just write them down, kind of get them off the mind. You know what I mean? Because they're on your mind, obviously. So you might as well just put it down and just tell the Lord, Lord, these are the things I plan to do today. You know, then kind of get out of the way. And then another thing about my time with the Lord is you have to be alone to know you're not alone. So somehow you can't be, you know, sitting at Starbucks, like Eileen can't be sitting getting boba and everything with a group of friends and think she could spend time with the Lord. I don't think that's going to happen. Because you have to be alone to know you're not alone and that God's there. So somehow you have to find some time to be alone, whether it's going in a closet, going to the park by yourself, just being in a room by yourself. And I mean alone. And you know me, I'm like, I have a husband, I have kids at home, I have all this activity. I have to get alone. The husband isn't part of the quiet time. The kids aren't part of the quiet time. It's me and the Lord. And so you have to find some way to be in the presence of God. Stripped of all your roles, your bad hair, your, you know, cooking, getting hungry. You have to just strip all those things away. And that sounds easy, like, I just took it all off, and that sounds easy. But it's easy to take it off physically. It's hard to get it out of the head. And then when you think about Moses in the Old Testament is like one of the most amazing characters in the Old Testament. He wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, and he had this amazing relationship with God. He was the most humble man on earth. He talked to God face to face. I mean, talking about alone time, he had 40 years of alone time with God in the wilderness, just going in the tent and talking to God. But he, to get stripped of being the prince of Egypt, and then he didn't really meet God until he was 80 years old. There was a lot of stripping that had to happen, a lot of crowns and hats that had to be stripped off of him. And he had to murder a guy, get sent to the wilderness, you know, become a lowly shepherd. And by the time at 80 years old when he met God, he's like, no, Lord, not me. I can't do it. I don't speak very well. I don't do this. I mean, he was stripped so low that he really thought he couldn't even represent God. And really, that's where God wants us. So to be in the presence of God, he has to perform this great stripping of us, and we have to not come as other people see us. Like, wearing all those things is the way you guys see me. You know, she's a mom, she's da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But to God, that verse, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Poor in spirit is, John MacArthur once said, you're in a dark room. You're in the corner of a dark room. You're naked, and you're just reaching your hand to God. Lord, help me. That's poor in spirit. You know, you have no bells and whistles, titles, material things to hide time. There's all those things I think you hide time. I'm a math teacher. I do this, I do that. And you hide time those things, but God wants you naked, cringing, helpless, and dependent on Him. That's being in the presence of God. So that's the first thing, is just being in the presence of God, and whatever way you could do it, whatever way you could strip yourself from being, you know, student body president, this popular person here, taking 4 AP classes, highest, you know, whatever way you have to strip yourself of all the things that man sees and just be in the presence of God, you have to figure out a way to do it. That's what I think. And then secondly, being in the presence of God is one of the things of being in relationship in the quiet time. And the second thing, as Arthur said, is scripture, because that after you're in the presence of God, you need to change your perspective of things. Like Romans 12, 1 and 2, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by... You were malleus with me. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So the second P is, You're spending this time with God so that your perspective will change. It has to change. Because our perspective of things is not right. You know, we look as man looks, but we have to change our perspective. So for me, like for you, you might want to listen to sermons, you might read books, you know, you might talk to your sister, you might listen to Arthur's message again. I mean, there's many ways to have your perspective change. For me, I walk my dog and I recite scripture. I mean, it doesn't sound real spiritual and godly, but, you know, Joy and I go on a walk and she sniffs and I'm reciting scripture and, you know, that's just what we do. So, you know, that kind of works for me. Or sometimes when I exercise, like I'm on the treadmill or swimming laps and I'm reciting scripture. And then I also started in the evening, starting with Genesis. I started reading my Bible and marking it up, you know, pink, yellow highlights, and writing things like, for instance, you know, when Jacob got married, he got married to who? Who? No. Not at first? Leah, remember? He got tricked, right? So Laban, he was supposed to be married to Rachel, but then he gave him Leah, and then he woke up and said, "Who are you? You're supposed to be Rachel, but you're Leah." And I'm going, I wrote in my margin, I go, how did he not know it was this? You know, how did he sleep with her and then did not know it was the wrong person? It's like, is that crazy? So I wrote in my margin, how did that happen? And then I was talking to Pastor Allen, and then he said to me, he goes, "Sandra, there's something the Bible didn't say. When he got married that night, Laban threw a party for him, and he got drunk, so he did not know who he was sleeping with until the morning." I mean, that was Pastor Allen's interpretation of it. But anyway, so I've been doing that to get into scriptures, reading it. And then the last P is that once you are in the presence of God, you are gaining the perspective of God. I don't think we will ever have the perspective of God totally, but we're gaining His point of view. And then, to me, you can experience the peace and power of God. And so then, you have the peace and power to live life. So, if you ever have a bad hair day again, you could say, "I know that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at my heart." And when you know that you're going to be playing Whittier Christian, and you know that they probably will win because they're better than us, but it's okay because it's not about winning on earth, but it's running the race and pressing on to the upward call in Jesus Christ. And then when you know that routinely you're going to have to cook dinner like you always do every day, but whether you're going to eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And when you know you have to help your daughter with calculus and any other science, you remember the heavens are telling you the glory of God and they're expanding, and you know that it's all God's world and everything you study is God. So you still do the same thing, You play with that lady in China, words with friends. I have to find the spiritual people. You are giving her encouragement because actually she had a stroke and this is helping her to recuperate. You're shopping on Amazon, just buy things for people. You're very glad you have the internet to do it and all these things you do. And so even though you're doing the same thing, but you're doing it with the peace and power of God, and thereby, I think you give God glory, and just like Moses, every time he met with God, he always left with a glow, remember? And I think that after we meet with God, you will end up with a glow, not the kind of glow that comes from makeup or any other artificial means, but it's a glow because you have the peace and power of being in the presence of God, having his perspective, and then you live and you give him glory. Thank you. I need to borrow it later.
Just make sure you take that out before bed tonight, though, please. All right. Okay. Time is running here. So I don't want you to worry so much about the how, as much as getting into the habit of actually meeting God. Meeting up with him regularly. And maybe it's going to be awkward at first, fine. It's not a big deal. But you'll start learning. As you start getting to know somebody, you start knowing. And you got to know you're getting to know somebody. He is a person. So you've got to start treating God as a person, not as a principle, not as an idea, not as a concept, not as a law, not as a rule. But he's a real person. And if you're a person, the only reason you're a person is because he is. The only reason is because he is. So you're dealing with a person, so treat him like a person. Sometimes be silent, be still. Be still and know that I am God, the psalmist says. So here's what I want you to do. And we only have 10 minutes for this right now. But I want you to kind of just spread around the room. And I'll call time in about 10 to 12 minutes. But settle down. And even now, this isn't going to be like really a long time, because here we are in a room of 30 people. But even within a room of 30 people, you can be alone, of course. And some of you really know that. And sometimes we shouldn't be. But I want you to practice being alone, at least just for a few minutes. Maybe it can help something here in your prayer. Meditate on a song or a scripture or something. Maybe just be still, and if your mind is talking, just do what I do. Tell yourself to shut up. And just whatever it is, however you want to make the most of it. You know, even just, Lord, I haven't really, in doing business, whatever it is. Make the most of this time, just even here, as just a taste, a little foretaste. And then go home tonight or tomorrow morning, get up and start right away. Upward engagement is so huge. It's the foundation for everything else that we do. But even here, we need it. Even at TD, with all the stuff we got going on, we need to have that sometimes. So let's do it now. Get in by a wall, stay in the middle of the room, read scripture, take notes, or whatever it is. But do it really meeting with a person, not just like the way you do your chemistry homework or your A push or something. Don't do it that way. Meet with him even here, even now. Okay, so go ahead and do that, and we'll do it about for 10 minutes or so, and then we'll pray together.